Okay, today's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Gimel. We left off on the bottom of daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Gordon Weingarten, Lezecha Nishmas, his father, Yotzeg Say Avram Ben Asher Pinchas, Zichrono Levracha, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. And we thank Mr. Weingarten very much. Dr. Weingarten, I don't remember, very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to discuss more about schach puzzle, different types of items that cannot be used for schach. We're going to start by discussing smelly schach, schach that sheds, and whether that's a problem. We're going to talk about branches that are naturally bound together. We discussed how you're not allowed to use bundles for schach, but what if the bundles are made by a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's naturally bound together. We're going to talk about the concept of a Shem Levi, that if something, the Torah says that you have to have a particular item, and there's something that's called by that name, but it has a secondary name also, it has a more specific name, is that considered to be in the general category or not? And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about how much makes up a bundle. We say we're not allowed to use bundles. Is three a bundle? Is two a bundle? How do we define what a bundle means? And then on Amud Beis, we have some exceptions to the rule that you're not allowed to use bundles. There are going to be certain cases where bundles are allowed to be used, and then we're going to talk about using the different types of maror that we're allowed to use for the mitzvah of maror on Pesach as schach, and why that's no good, what the problem is with using those vegetables as schach. And the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of yados l'tuma, the concept that even though only something that's an ochel but not just leaves or branches are mekabel tuma, but if the leaf or the branch is used to help carry the item, that's also maybe a satuma. It also, if you something tame touches those parts, it's metame the meichel as well. So anyway, so let's pick up from Yud Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page. Amar of Yehuda, hani shushi v'shavtzari mesachim. Shushi and shavtzari are allowed to be used as chach. Abaye Amar b'shushi mesachim b'shavtzari lo mesachim. Abaye says we could use shushi but not shavtzari. Rashi writes shushi and shavtzari are mine yirakos. There are types of vegetables, and he goes through what type of vegetable it might be, but there might be a chilek between them. Shushi Abaye says you can be mesachich shavtzari, you cannot. My taima, why not? What's the problem with using shavtzari? So kiven the sari rechayu shavuk luvenafik, that since it has a very awful smell, so a person would leave and would not stay in the sukkah. So you're not allowed to use a schach that's going to cause you to not want to stay in the sukkah, that's going to chase you out of the sukkah. I assume when they say mini rakos, we're not talking about edible vegetables, but about greenery, that different types of greenery that people might use for schach. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava, hani hizmi vihigi mesachin bu. Rav Chanan Bar Rava says that hizmi and higi you could use for schach. Abaye Amar bihizmi mesachinan bihigi lo mesachinan. Abaye says no, not both hizmi and higi. These are types of Rashi says mine sne, types of bushes or like a thorn bush type of thing. So the Abaye is mechalik between two different types. My taima, why would it be that behigi lo mesachina, and it grows from the ground, it's not mekabel tuma, seems to fit all the qualifications. So kibbut the natri tarfayu shavuk levinafik, because this sheds, the leaves fall off of it, and therefore you're gonna be sick of this things falling on you when you're sitting in your sukkah, so you're gonna want to leave eventually. That too is going to chase you out of the sukkah. So Abaye apparently holds that any schach where there's a reasonable concern that it's going to chase the person out of the sukkah, that he's not going to want to stay in the sukkah, is not going to be valid to use as chach. Presumably mit Rabbanon. Amrav Gidol Amrav, hay afkusa didikla mesachin bu. So Rav Gidol Amrav says that afkusa didikla, you part of a dekel tree, the part that grows out, the shoots that grow up right by the ground, right by the base of the dekel tree. So that part of the palm tree mesachin bu, you're allowed to use a schach. Afal gav da agidi, even though the way it grows is it's bound together. Eged bidei shemayim lo shmei eged. Whatever is an eged that's bidei shemayim, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu just makes it grow that way, but no person ever tied it together, so that's not called an eged, that's not considered to be a real eged when it's eged bidei shemayim. Avgav the hadar aged lehu, iged b'chad lo shmei aged. And even though a person will tie it again on his own, the branches together on the top, but the iged b'chad lo shmei aged, anything that's an individual that you tie together is not considered an aguda, unless you tie something else together in the bundle with it, but this is just bundling one unit, one item that grew together. So it's considered one unit, and therefore that's not considered to be an eged, so that can be used for schach. That is not a problem to use for schach. Similarly, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ravina Bar Shila, Hani Dukri Dekani Mesachin Behu. The Dukri Dekani, another type of item that grows in a bunch, you're allowed to use for schach. Avogav da gidin inhu, even though it is ogud, it is bound together. Eged bidei shemayim lo shmei eged. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it grow that way. No human being has tied it together and made it into a bundle. Avogav da hadragad lehu, even though a person may then tie the other end of it and make it like a bundle. Eged bechad lo shmei eged. But once we've already defined it as one item and not as an eged of several different items, so that's called eged bechad. That's called binding one thing together, and that's not going to be considered a real eged. Tanya mihachi kanim v'dukranim mesachin ben. We have a brayso that supports everything we just said, that kanim and dukranim you're allowed to use for schach. So kanim pshita, of course you're allowed to use reeds for schach. That's classic schach. Why wouldn't you be allowed to use reeds for schach? So says Mara ema kanim shel dukranim mesachin bu. No, the point is that he's saying the kanim of the dukranim, which is dukri dukani, which is exactly what Rav Chisda and Ravina Bar Shila was saying, that you're allowed to use for schach. Even though it grows in bunches, it grows in bundles, that's what the Braisa says you're allowed to use for schach. So again, just a raya to the idea that we've been saying that that both Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav and Rav Chisda Amar Ravina Bar Shila were saying that when it's eged bidei shemayim, that's not a problem of eged, and even if a person then ties the other end, that's still not a problem of eged. The Rishonim raise a question, the Balamar, the Ran, the Ritva, all the Rishonim raise a question that when it comes to Ezov that we're mazah the Mepara Aduma with, that we're mazah the Mechatos with, when we sprinkle the ashes of the Parah Aduma, so we find that Eged Bidei Shemayim is considered an Eged. The Mishnah in Parah, in Perek Yidal of Mishnah Tes, says that Ezov Sheesh Bo Shlosha Klachim Mipisko Va'ogdo Lo Pasko Lo Agdo Kasher, which means that if it has a root of one, the Ezov grows together with three stalks together in one unit, L'chadchila you should try to separate the stalks from each other so that it wouldn't be ogud, so that even though it's eged bidei shemayim, it shouldn't be ogud, and then you could ogate it together bidei adam. You shouldn't rely on the fact that it's already ogud bidei shemayim, because again, by aguda says if you need an aguda, we want it to be ogud. But if it grows ogud, l'chadchila you shouldn't just leave it that way, you should pull it apart and then tie it back together to make an eged. But b'di'eved lo paskav lo agdu, you leave it the way it is, so that's good enough. That is considered an eged by Aguda Sezov, where you need an eged if it grows in a bunch of three, so that's okay. You can leave it like that in the bunch of three. So apparently, from the Mishnah and Parah, it sounds like eged bidei shemayim, shmei eged, but that is considered an eged for Aguda Sezov. So the three basic approaches in the Rishonim. One approach is that eged bidei shemayim really is considered to be an eged, just like it says by Parah Aduma. By Sukkah, eged bidei adam is only psul midrabban, when you have an eged on a sukkah. It's a gzeros otzer that you might come to use to be mesachich b'chavilos that you put there just to dry on top of the sukkah. So they were makel to say that eged b'dei shemayim is not going to be considered an eged legabe sukkah when we're dealing with dinim d'rabbanan, where the whole thing is an issue of a gzera. But is it fundamentally called an eged? Eged b'dei shemayim is fundamentally an eged, but by sukkah we're going to be makel because the whole thing is only a din midrabbanan of a gzera. Of Xeris Otsar. The Ran and the Zayin Amar Alf Dibra Maskel Shushi, the Ran explains that different answer. He says, Schach Agud is only possible because of Xeris Otsar, which means that you might be Mesachich B'chavilos that you put there to dry. So there goes there by an Aguda that's similar to a Chavila, meaning the Xerah is only in that which is similar to the concern Midaraisa. By Sukkah, the concern Midaraisa is that you're going to bundle up your things in the field, you're going to bring it home, and you throw it on top of your sukkah to dry, and then you leave it there, and that's going to be a psul darais of tasav lo menasui. So they were only gozer by things that are similar to that scenario where you have the bundle of branches is bundled together by human hands. But if it's bundled together by Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that's even though it is considered an eged, but that's not an otsar. That's not a problem of otsar. Over here, it's not a problem of eged by a sukkah per se. The issue is one of otsar. The Ritva says that by Parah Aduma, even if you're not ogeded the Ezov at all, it's kosher b'diavad. So therefore he says that the Raya is bad from Parah Aduma. Don't prove to me from Parah Aduma that Eged b'nei Shemayim Shmei Eged, and that's why if you leave it ogud that way, it's kosher. He says, no, the reason why if you leave it ogud the way it was, the way it grows, it's kosher, is because b'diavad, when there's no Eged at all, it's kosher by Parah Aduma. So really, the dominant one is what our Gemara says, that Eged b'nei Shemayim is lo Shmei Eged. It just happens to be that by Parah Aduma, the din of Eged is not ma'akev b'diavad. So that is how the Ritva understands. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara now. Vamrav chistam ravina barshila. Hani merisa da agma. Adam Yotzi ben Yidei Chavasa Pesach. Merisa da agma. The maror of the agam. A person can be Yotzi is chiyuv of maror with it on Pesach. Meisve ezov velo ezov yavan velo ezov kuchli velo ezov midbari velo ezov romi velo ezov sheyesh Hashem levai. But wait a second, don't we learn that when there's a din of agudas ezov, so ezov is a hyssop branch, so we say what types of branches can be used as ezov? It's got to be a stam ezov, can't be any ezov that has any other name to it, any other qualifications. Not an ezov yavan, not an ezov kuchli, not an ezov midbari, not an ezov romi. The achronim raised the question, it's very solemn. Ezov Romi, the Torah is being memayit. Ezov Romi, Rome wasn't built yet at the time of Matan Torah. So, but the point is that if this Ezov, this type of branch, is later called an Ezov Romi, it tells you that it's a different type of branch, and it always was a different type of branch. But anyway, any Ezov that has a Shem Levi, that has some other name to it, is not going to be is not going to qualify. So why is it by Marar that Marisa da Agma is kosher to use for Marar? It has a Shem Levi, and the Torah says you're supposed to use Marar. So apparently this shouldn't really be called Marar. Two answers. Answer number one, Amar Abaye, Kol Shenishtanish Shemo, Kodem Matan Torah, Ubasa Torah V'ikpidola, B'yadua Sheish Hashem Levai, V'hani Lo Nishtanish Shemo, Kodem Matan Torah Klal. Anytime there was multiple minim, and each one had its own Shem Levai, each one had its own identifying name to it, like Ezov Kuchlis, and before Matan Torah, that's what it was called. And then the Torah says, what the Torah wants you to take is Ezov, and it doesn't say about Ezov any type of Ezov. It just says Ezov, so and it never mentions any of the Shem Levi. So then you know that the Torah is being makbid on a stam Ezov. But by the Marar, it wasn't these names didn't exist called the Matan Torah. So when the Torah says that you should take what's called Marar stam, it's not being makbid not to take other types of Marar. These names didn't exist before Matan Torah to be mimayit them. So when the Torah says Marar, it means all types of marar. That's one answer. That's Abaye's answer. Rava Amar Hani Marisa Stama Shemayu. No, Marisa Da'agma is not a Shem Levi. It's really just marar. Vayidakarin Marisa Da'agma Mishum Demishtakach Ba'agma. That's just identifying where you can find it when we call it Marisa Da'agma. That you'll find it in a swamp. That's why it's called Marisa Da'agma. But it's not that it's actually that it's actually a Shem Levi. That it's a different type of marar. It's a regular marar. It's the same marar as any other marar. Rashi over here on the local ezov sheish Hashem Levai. So Rashi points out, Hakanami marksiv lo marar to da'agma du Shem Levai. I'm sorry, that's what we've been assuming all the time, right? That Rashi says that Marisa da'agma is we originally thought is a Shem Levai, but then in the end we say it's not a Shem Levai. But if you look in Tosus, Marisa da'agma. So what is Marisa da'agma? Yeah, I was thinking of two Rashi's before that. Marisa da'agma Rashi. It said Chazeres Shal Agam. It's a chazeres. Now, what does chazeres mean? Chazeres is lettuce. So it's a lettuce that grows in the swamps. So Tosov here points out, Pirish Bekuntros, chazeres shal agam. Vein mashmakein perakol shah. He says, if you remember from Psachim, it doesn't really sound that Marisa da Agma is a type of lettuce. Da Amrina and Ravina ashkel Ravacha brei de Rava dava mechazer amarisa. Ravina found Ravacha brei de Rava looking for dafka marisa as his vegetable to use for Marar, Amalei, my daiteich. So he said, why are you so makbid to dafka find this kind of vegetable? Imishum de meriri tvei, if it's because it's very bitter, va'anantanan chazeres. But we learned in the Mishnah, chazeres is the ideal vegetable to use for Marar. So why are you looking for this merarisa? Says Tosus, what do you see? Chazeres is not merarisa. These are two different vegetables. So for Rashi to identify merarisa as chazeres is against the Gemara in Mesechus Pesach. problem. So the Achronim point out, many of the Achronim point out, the Achronim, Fasemes, all the classical Achronim point out, that we're not dealing with Rashi's not explaining a specific type of Mar. He's saying that all of these, by each of these Minim, there's a Shem Levi. Meaning that when we're not dealing specifically with a Min Mesuyam, one of the five Minim of Mar, with all the Minim that have a Shem Levi. So he just says that Maris over here means Marar in the broader sense, meaning if you look at the list of vegetables in Psachim, in the Mishnah Psachim, the Vlamentas, where it gives a list of vegetables that you're allowed to use for Marar, one of the items on the list is Marar. Of the five vegetables, one of them is Marar. So Marar, it's like New York, New York. You know, there's New York City and there's New York State. Marar is a very narrow name. It's a type of vegetable, but Marar also is a reference to the entire category called Marar. So when Rashi says, Rashi's assuming when our Gemara used Marar, it's not talking about that vegetable, it's talking about the category. So it might be talking about Chazeres. Chazeres is the best item to use in that category. The Aruch Hanan says it sounds that way from the Gemara itself. Hani Miri Rasa, Adam Yosei, it sounds, because it's Lashon Rabim, it's not Lashon Yachid. Miri Rasa sounds like different types of Marar, which includes all five vegetables in the category. Now the Achronim raise a different question. When the Torah says marar, it doesn't mean a particular type of vegetable that's called marar. It's referring to something that has a bitter taste. So how could the Gemara compare marar to ezov? Meaning the Gemara asks the kasha from ezov that when the Torah says ezov, it can't be these anything that has a shem levai, any specific type. It has to only be stam ezov, because that's what the Torah says. The Torah says ezov, but by marar, is the Torah referring to a vegetable, or a particular vegetable, or is the Torah just referring to something bitter, saying that you need to eat something bitter, but it's not necessarily being makbid on a particular type of vegetable. So Magen Avraham says, what you see from our sugya, Magen Avraham in Siman Tafayin Gimel, says what you see from our sugya is that the Torah is being makbid on a specific type of vegetable, and that you're not allowed to just stam use whatever bitter vegetable you want to use from our. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch that if you can't find any of the minim of Marar, so then b'diavad, if you don't have any of the vegetables listed in the Mishnah that are kosher to use for Marar, so okay, so then b'diavad, you find kol davar mar. But Magen Avraham says, really, you're not yotzei the mitzvah that way. Really, the mitzvah is only with the five vegetables listed as Marar, which means that it would be in our best interest to identify properly exactly what those five vegetables are. There's a big discussion in the Achronim whether a radish is one of the items on the list, whether a radish can match with one of the items on the list. Tamcha, there was a big discussion about whether tamcha is considered to be horseradish. Professor Felix, who was a firm professor in, I think, the 1960s, had proven that horseradish is actually not one of the vegetables on the list, and that people have misidentified it over all the years. So they asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman whether we should stop using horseradish. So he said, no, we have a Masorah that horseradish is good. We should continue to, you could continue to use it, in spite of the fact that the evidence seems pretty strong. I mean, he did acknowledge the evidence seems pretty strong, that it doesn't seem that all they had available, they didn't have any of the Minei Mara, so that's what they used. Rosh Shlomo Zalman held they still use it. Rosh Shlomo thought better to use lettuce, because we know that lettuce is the best vegetable to use on the list, and if horseradish is questionable, so why would you use horseradish? Much better to use the item that's number one on the list. But that's what Magen Avraham says, that dafka, it has to be these items on the list. It can't be anything else. Rabbi Kiveger asked it as a kasha. Now, what do you mean? It's supposed to be, Mara just has to be anything bitter, so you can't compare Mara to Ezov. So you see, Rabbi Kiveger holds it doesn't have to be dafka, the five items on the list. It could be any bitter vegetable. Okay, Amar Rav Chista, back in the Gemara. Amar Rav Chista, Igid Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. That if you tie one thing together, that's not called an Eged. An Eged means when multiple things are tied up together. Shalosh Shmei Eged. Certainly when you tie three things together, that's called an eged. That's called a bundle when three things are bundled together. Shnayim machlokas Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. Two is machlokas. When you tie two things together, is that called a bundle? Is it not called a bundle? We're about to see that that's a machlokas. Who holds what is going to be a big tumult in the Gemara. But before we get to that tumult in the Gemara says very clearly, three together is definitely the definition of an eged. If you look at Tosos asks a kasha from Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says, Tema, Maseches Avos Mashma De Pachos Mi Chamisha Lo Shmei Eged. In Pirkei Avos, it sounds like to make an Eged, you need five. Where does it say that in Pirkei Avos? Ditna Nasara Shiyoshin Voskin BaTorah Shechina Beneihem. The Mishnah says that if you have 10 people sitting and learning Torah, the Shechina is amongst them. Shenemar Elukim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel, and the Eda is always a minion, and Eda is always 10 people. Uminayin Afilu Chamisha. And how do you know that to a lesser extent, even when there, it has to be to a lesser extent, otherwise there's no kunz in 10, but how do you know that to a lesser extent, even when there are five people there that they're learning Torah together, that the Shekhinah is with them? And we're used to that concept of Hashras HaShekhinah coming in different degrees and in different levels of intensity. That shouldn't be a surprise to us. We have that with Kedushas HaMakom, the Eser Kedushas. The Mishnah Midos talks about the different places in Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Mikol HaRatzos, in Yerushalayim from Eretz Yisrael, etc. So there's different concentrations of Hashras HaShekhinah in different places. So too, when you have 10 people together, a very high concentration of Hashras HaShekhinah. 5 people learning together, also the Shekhinah Imahim. Not to the same extent, but Shekhinah Imahim. Where do we know that from? Va'agudaso al Eretz Yasta. It's based on the term Aguda, that God's Aguda is there. Well, so you see that it's 5 people. Uminayin Shafilu Shlosha. And how do you know that even 3? Shenemar Bekerev Elohim Yishbot. So it's, or Elohim. Elohim would be judges, but Elohim in terms of the Ashras HaShekhinah. So you see that based on that judging is done, and judges with the 3 Dayanim, that's 803. So Frank tells us, wait a second, if Aguda means 3, so how come the Mishnah Pirkei Avos doesn't derive from Aguda that with 3 people Shekhinah Imahim? Why does it wait for and it says we know 5 from Aguda? So it seems to be against our Gemara. So he points out, this from the Garsi Ibcha, the Chamishcha Nafkalam Yibikarev, Mishum Da Adas Dereshe De Krakai, Ubalashon Bikarev Mashma Emtsa, Kolomer Bechatzi Eda. He says, some have the Psukim reversed. Wait a second, how do you have the Psukim reversed? So Aguda actually teaches us 3, Bikarev Elkim Yishpo teaches us 5. Well, how do you have Bikarev Elkim Yishpo teaches 5? He says, Bikarev implies right down the middle. And we're talking about, we're going off of the last thing we just said, Ba'adas Kel, which was 10. So if you go right down the middle, in 10, you end up with 5. So that's another gear, so that would solve our problem. But then Tos points out, Parakam and the Brachas Lamashmakain, Damar Hasam, Minayin Lasarashim Spalin Shashchina Benehen. The Gemara asks him, Sechs Brachas, how do I know that when 10 people daven together, the Shechina is there? And again, over there it's also in degrees. If you learn through that Sugya in Brachas, 10 people daven wherever they daven, the Shechina is there to some degree, but the Shechina is there to a greater degree. They daven in a Makum Kadosh, they daven in a Beis HaKnesses, and maybe even to a greater degree in a place where Torah is learned on a regular basis, in a Makum that is particularly in a Makum that they learned Torah. So everything is with some degree of Hashras HaShekhinah. But anyway, when there are 10 people together, that causes at least some degree of Hashras HaShekhinah. Shnemar Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel Uminayin L'Shlosha Sheyoshvim Badin Sheshchina Beinahem. And when 3 people sit in judgment, Sheshchina Beinahem Shnemar Bekerav Elohim Yishbot. So that only works if you hold like the first gear, so that Bekerav Elohim or Elohim is a reference to 3 and not to 5. So if we have that Gemara in Brachos, now we're back to our problem, because we have to assume, like the original gear that we had in Pirkei Avos, which defines Eged as 5 and not as 3, and that's against our Gemara. So it says Tosos Veshema the Afgav the Bialma Chashiva Aguda B'Shlosha Haikra Dav Agudas Al Eretz Yasta Lo Mitokam El B'Chamisha Mishum Tuxiv Af Yada Yasta Eretz UBiyad Yesh B'Chamisha. Said Aguda is really 3. We're focusing on the wrong part of the pasuk. It's not from Eged that we're deriving 5. It's from the fact that the pasuk goes on to refer to Yad, to the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yad always says should have 5 fingers, so that's why the Yad is a reference to something that's associated with 5. So it's not about Aguda. That's not what we're actually darshaning over there. Okay, so for our Gemara's purposes, clearly an Aguda 3 definitely makes up an Aguda. 1 definitely does not make up an Aguda. 2 is a Machlokas. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omar, Mitzvos Ezov. So where do we find this Machlokas? So Ditznan, we have Mishnah. Mitzvos Ezov Shlosha Klachim Uben Shlosha Gevolin. The Mitzvah mitzvah of Ezov is to have three stalks that each have three branches coming off of it. Rabbi Yossi Omer mitzvah Ezov shlosh gevolin, the mitzvah of Ezov is three gevolin v'shiyar of shnayim. But if one fell out, you originally bound up three together and one fell out, it's still considered an aguda v'garduma of kol shehu. And if you've already used it and it's gotten chopped down by using it and using it and using it, so even a kol shehu, even whatever's left of it is fine. Kasalka daitan mi d'shiyar of shnayim t'chlasu nami shnayim. So we're making the assumption that from the fact that Rabbi Yossi says that if you have two left, it would still be okay, that even the chachila, if you have two, that would be okay. Vadiktani shlosha l'mitzvah. And the only reason he even mentioned that you should have three is mitzvah min amuvchar to have three. But really, two is okay as well. So mid Rabbi Yossi shlosha l'mitzvah, the Rabban shlosha l'akiv. So what are Rabbi Yossi and the Rabban arguing about? It must be that Rabbi Yossi holds shlosha is only a l'chachila dikadin, but the Rabbanan hold that shlosha is ma'akev, that you need to have three in order for it to be called naguda. So what do you see? That they're arguing whether two, at least b'di'evit, whether two is called an aguda. Rabbi Yossi thinks yes, and the Rabbanan think no. So says Marva Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ezov t'chilasa shnayim v'shiyar av echad, pasul, v'enu kasher ashei t'chilasa shlosha v'shiyar av shnayim. But didn't Rabbi Yossi teach us in the Braisa that l'chadchila you need, that not only l'chadchila, even b'di'evit, you need to have started with three. Yes, he holds that if you have two left, when one fell out, it's still called an aguda, but that's only once it already had a shem aguda by being bound together with three. So you see, Rabbi Yossi also defines aguda as three. So how can you tell me you have a machlokas tanoim that the Tanakama holds aguda as three and Rabbi Yossi holds aguda as two? You see explicitly in the Braisa that Rabbi Yossi only defines aguda as three. So it says in Gemara, Epoch, the Rabbi Yossi shlosh alakiv, the Rabbanan shlosh al mitzvah. We have to switch it around. Switch around the shitos. We got it backwards at first. Rabbi Yossi holds that three is ma'akev. Three is aguda. And the Rabbanan holds shlosh al mitzvah. The Rabbanan holds that three is only l'mitzvah. Three is only l'chadchila requirement, but b'di'evet, it's okay with two. So it's the Rabbanan who hold that an aguda of two is called an aguda. Va'atanya, and this va'atanya is b'nichusa, Rashi points out. And we have a braisa that says just like this. Ezov t'chilas v'shayim v'shiyor av echad kosher, veinu pasul ad shei t'chilas v'shiyor av echad. That there is a Tana that holds that even if it starts out with two bound together, that would be kosher. It would only be possible if you start out with only one. So shiyor av echad pasul, amr shiyor av echad kosher. Wait a second. How can we say that if there's one left, it's pasul? We just said that if there's one left, that it's kosher. Eleima ad shei t'chilas v'shiyor av echad. Which we mean to say that the only time it's going to be pasul is if you start with one. But if you start with two, that's kosher. So who could possibly be the author of that price? So we know it's certainly not Rabbi Yossi. So you see that that's going like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, when they say three, they only mean the mitzvah, because as far as being ma'akev, they only hold that you need two bound together in order to be ma'akev, in order for it to be in order for it to be considered a proper aguda. A Tulsa store at the bottom in Dibra Mischel Mitzvahs, Dibra Mischel Mitzvahs asks, why is it that the Gzeir Shavah that we darshan by Lulav is different than the Gzeir Shavah we darshan by Ezov? By Lulav, the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph said that if we darshan the Gzeir Shavah of Lekicha from Ezov, so we learn from there that there's a chiv to be Ogei the Lulav even B'dievet. By Ezov of Paraduma, the Gzeir Shavah is only Mechayev that we are Ogeid, but not that it's Ma'akev B'dievet, only that it's a din L'chadchila. So why is it that if it's the same Gzeir Shavah, why would the Gzeir Shavah by Lulav teach me that it's even Ma'akev B'dievet, and Gzeir Shavah by Para only teach me that, right, we said Paskav Log Dukasher by Para, that was the Mishnah in the 11th Parak of Masechta Parah we mentioned before. Tos leaves it as a Kasha, doesn't answer this Kasha. So there are several answers offered by the Achronim. Svasema suggests that by Lulav we already darshan from Zekeli Vanvehu. Remember we said on Daf Yir Aleph that when it comes to Lulav, everyone holds mitzvah la'agdo, that it's the proper thing to do, even if you hold that Lulav ain't Sarach Eged. Well, if it ain't Sarach Eged, why is it mitzvah la'agdo? Why is it the proper thing to do? Mishum Zekeli Vanvehu, because of Hider Mitzvah, the Lulav should be tied together, the Lulav should be bound together. So once I already know that there's a din l'chadchila, that you need to bind the Lulav, what's what's the Gzeir Shava adding? So Gzeir Shava must be telling me that it's even Makiv B'dievet. Whereas by Parah, there's nowhere else that tells me in the first place that it's got to be L'Chadchila. Memela, the Gzeir Shava is only there to teach me level one, that L'Chadchila it's required. So it's not a matter of a Gzeir Shava being more powerful or less powerful in one place than the other. The Gzeir Shava tells me to go one step further into the Eged than I already know beforehand. By Parah, I knew nothing beforehand. So now I'm told by the Gzeir Shava, you need an Eged L'Chadchila. By Lulav, I already knew I need an Eged L'Chadchila. Gzeir Shava tells me, even Ma'akev B'di'evet, because I already knew it from Zakeh Levan Ve'u. In the Mishmeres Kuna, he quotes here, he suggests a little differently, that Ezov Shel Parah is Doma L'Kadshim, and the rule by Kadshim is, you need Shina Lava Kasav La'akev, that in general by Kadshim, whenever the Torah only tells us something once, so we assume it's not Ma'akev, until the Torah says it a second time. Whereas outside of the world of Kadshim, we assume whatever the Torah says, you need, is automatically Ma'akev, that's just an automatic, in general, by outside of Kadshim. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara, second line from the top, you'd give one base. Darsh Maremar, Hani Isurai the surah, mesachin bahu. The bundles that people put together in surah, the bundles of branches that people put together in surah, you're allowed to use for schach. It's directly against our Mishnah. We said you're not allowed to use bundles that people bundled together for schach. Afagav da'agdan, even though it's an eged, it's bound together. Leminyana bi'almahu da'agdan. Yeah, but people just bind it together to count it out. Meaning it's a way of, when you buy 25 of them, they'll know, oh, take one bundle, it's 25. You want 75, take three bundles. So they do it for numbers purposes. They don't do it for any other reason other than that. So what? Who cares why they do it? So Rashi explains, because they would never dry it out that way. When they dry it out, they untie it to dry it out. So the whole concern of using a bundle of schach one time is because of a gezeira that you might come to just leave your bundles to dry out on top of your sukkah and then just leave it there and count on it for schach. But no, these types of branches apparently were never left to dry this way, so we'd have no concern. The whole gezeira doesn't apply. The Ritva writes that the reason of the heter over here is based on the Gemara is going to say a little bit later on, that any eged that's einu asu l'taltalo is lo shmei eged. Any bundle that doesn't help you schlep it from one place to another, and it's not made for the purpose of helping to schlep it from one place to another, is not called an eged. So he says, the gzeira of chavila is only said on a kesher whose purpose is similar to the kesher of chavilos, which is to make it easier to schlep around. Over here, the purpose of this knot, the purpose of this binding, is not to make it easier to schlep. The purpose of this binding is for counting purposes, and therefore it's not included in the gzeira. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hanit Srifi du Urbani, Kivan Shuhutra Rashi Ma'adan Mishalahan Ksherin. If you have these bound together branches that form like the shape of a hut, where it's tied together at one end and it spreads out at the bottom. So since it's Hutra Rashi Ma'adan Mishalahan, since the other end is untied, it's kosher. Va'agidi mitasayi, but isn't it bound at one end? So I'm Rav Papa to Sharilu. Rav Papa says, no, we're talking about where you untie it. Rav Huna Brei Rav Shua, feel the tame but the lo Sharilu. He says, no, even if you don't untie it. Kol Eged, Shana Yasalutatlo, lo Shmei Eged, the rule that we just pointed out, that any Eged that's not there to make it easier to carry, to make it easier to move around, is lo shmei eged. That's not considered to be a legitimate eged. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Yirakol Shamar Cham, new topic. Yirakol Shamar Cham Adam Yosef Ben Yidei Chavasa Pesach, Mevin Es Hatuma, Vein Chotzim Bifnei Hatuma, Upasim Pesukim Mishama Avir. Those vegetables that you're allowed to use for Marar on Pesach, so three halachas. First of all, Mevin Es Hatuma. If you have schach, you have a roof made out of these vegetables, and there's a dead body under that roof, and something else under that roof, the tumah is transmitted from the dead body. It's considered a valid ohel for tumah. The tumah is transmitted from that body to whatever else is under that same roof. Now, typically, if something is an ohel, if there's a dead body in a room, and there's a roof over that room, and the tumah is transmitted to everything that's in that room, by definition, that would mean that the tumah does not go through the roof, and anything that's over the roof would not become tameh. Whatever is maybe tumah is not chotitz b'fnei tumah. And, whatever is maybe tumah is chotitz b'fnei tumah. And whatever is not maybe tumah, if something cannot spread tumah to the whole rest of the room, then the tumah would go straight through, wouldn't be chotzeit, and anything anything over it would become tameh. Yet over here we say it's mevin es atuma, but ve'ein chotzitzin b'fnei atuma. It doesn't stop the tameh. Anything that goes over this vegetable roof also becomes tameh. So Rashi points out clearly we're dealing with a din drabanan over here, that it's a gezeirah drabanan not to rely on it as a roof because it could dry up at any time and disappear. So midrabanan we don't count it as a roof, but on the daraisa level we're going to have to be machmir that anything that goes over that roof is going to become tameh because midaraisa it is. Midaraisa, it is considered a roof, and it would be maybe the tuma. The rabbanon where it goes there, not to be somech on it to be chotzitz b'fnei tuma. It's a gzeirah drabbanan that anything that goes over it is going to become tameh because it could fall apart at any time. It could dry up and just shrivel at any time. And generally speaking, third halacha that we're saying over here relating to sukkah is that when it comes to the schach of a sukkah, schach pasul, you're allowed to have up until four tefachim of schach pasul. Once you get four tefachim of schach pasul is your sukkah. Avir, just blank, plain airspace on top of your sukkah, pasuls with three tefachim. So what's the status of these vegetables that are currently there, but they can dry up and shrivel up? We give them the stricter din of avir on top of a sukkah. They don't have a din of schach pasul, meaning we treat them as if it's with the three tefachim of these vegetables would be enough to pasul the entire sukkah. My time, why? Given the chiyavshi parchi v'nafli, command the lesson of dummy. That since if it would dry up, it would shrivel up and fall, so it's as if it's not there. We view it as if it's not there. So we say this certainly lechumra. The question is, would we also say this lekula? All the poskim in the Sardis Shulchanaruch, they quote the Shuvas Ginus Varadim that talks about in Yana Diyama. Let's say there's been a lot of snow and ice, but it's Sukkah's time with a lot of snow and ice. So your Sukkah is covered with a sheet of ice. So is that a kashra sukkah? Do we view it as schach pasul that's covering your sukkah? It's not kidula minara. It's not right. It's not schach kashur. Ice is not kashur to use for schach. So is it schach pasul, or do we view it as if it's not there? Do we view it like avir? So the Ginnis Bradim says, well, just like we say this svara l'chumra, that we're going to view something that will fall away eventually, and as hard as it is to believe, eventually the ice does melt and eventually it goes away. So something that's going to fall away eventually, do we view it as if it's not there, even lakula? So over here we're saying we view lachumra as if it's not there, and we view if you're relying on it for schach, it would be like avir. Maybe we should say lakula also. You have schach kasher, and over the schach kasher you have this sheet of ice. Maybe we could say view it as if it's not there, as if it's air, and therefore you could sit underneath it. So that's the discussion. The post Ginnis Radim wants to suggest that we can be somech on that one is allowed to be. To be makel, that it's command the lesson of dummy, even for those purposes. Another interesting point over here, Rashi writes that while these vegetables are still moist, then mita oraisa they do form a proper roof because they're not makabel tuma. What do you mean they're not makabel tuma? Says Rashi, because lav maichel adam hu, they're not edible food for human beings. Human beings wouldn't eat such a food, so it's not makabel tumas ochlin. It wouldn't be. What type of vegetables are we talking about? We're talking about the vegetables that a person is yotze the mitzvah of mara with. Number one on the list, the number one vegetable is lettuce. I eat lettuce every single day. There's lav maichel adam. Rashi says it's not considered to be maichel adam, so it's not makabel tuma. So Tosus has a very hard time with this. Tosus in Dibra Maskel Yirakos about half. Way down. Avakasha. Teichi matzah name. Lav meichel adam ninu. Harmin perikol shama matzah sheni kachas bekas of meiser. He doesn't ask. Libutz eats it every day. He says no. He has a different kasha. He says that the gemara in Pesachim daflam test when it defines what you could use for maror, it says that it has to be something that you're allowed to spend your meiser sheni money on. And meiser sheni money can only be spent on food that people eat. So the gemara makes the drasha just like matzah sheni kachas bekas of meiser. Av maror. Also, when I time right here, Daphne, they know Yotzen Boy, you day Mara, can the Pirisham Bakuntras, the Daphne, and when you come to Kasim Meister, they know Machel. And we have specific vegetables that we say you cannot use for Mara, specifically because they're not a Michael Adam. But everything you can use for Mara, by definition, is a Michael Adam. So says Tosos, what you have to say over here is that the reason these vegetables are not Mekabal Tuma is that they weren't Huchshar Lekabal Tuma. And if they weren't Huchshar Lekabal Tuma, maybe they could still be used for Schach on the Dara. Level. level if they're not yet hukshra lekabel tuma. So this is that's a great chiddush also. It may depend on how you view the concept of hukshra lekabel tuma. There's big chakira in hukshra lekabel tuma. It's hukshra lekabel tuma that it gives it the shame ochel, that prior to being hukshra lekabel tuma, it's not an ochel. So if it's not an ochel, it's not a kabel tuma. Or do you say no, hukshra lekabel tuma doesn't give it the shame ochel? It was always an ochel. It's just that for whatever reason, the Ramban writes al chumash that metaphysically, spiritually, tuma can't stick unless a vegetable is wet. It's like when something is wet and you put it in dirt, so the dirt sticks to it. But if it's not wet and you put it in dirt, the dirt doesn't stick. So once it was wet, the tuma has the ability to stick to it. But it was always an ochel. It's just a question of whether tuma could stick to it. So it's probably totally in that chakira whether a vegetable that's not hukshra lekabel tuma is considered to be kosher for schach midoraisa.
If someone cuts grapes to make wine, so the branches that are connected to the grapes, the vines that are connected to the grapes, are not considered yadayim l'tuma. Generally speaking, if you have a fruit that has a stem, let's say, that you could hold the fruit by the stem or by the branch, you have a cluster of grapes, it's very typical, you would hold it by the stem, by the branch, so that's considered to be yadayim for tuma, that the tuma can be transmitted through the branch itself, even though the branch is not the food, and the branch l'chora should not be mekabel tuma, but it's yadayim. But if you're taking the grapes to use for making wine, then it's ein lo yados. Rav Nashi bar Gada amar Rav Huna hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. So someone cuts grain to use the non-edible part for schach, it's also ein lo yados. Man yamar kotzer kol shkin botzer. So l'nichal edelim tzil l'chamrei. Now certainly you don't want the vines anywhere near the grapes when you're making wine, because it's going to suck up all the wine and it's going to absorb a lot of the wine. It's going to ruin your whole winemaking. Mandiam or boats are shein lo yados, halvakotzer yesh lo yados, dinichle deliskach bukeche de levadron. But it could be that if you hold that boats are, that when you're making the wine, it's ein lo yados, that's because you really, really don't want those vines there. But maybe when you're kotzer l'schach, you don't mind so much having the food there, because the meichel holds it together a little bit, so it won't scatter as much when you put it on top of your sukkah. So maybe it's not as much of an unwanted item. So name of the Rav Nashi bar Gada Tanoim. Maybe this is actually Machlokas Tanoim. The Tanya, Suche Te'enim Ubehen Te'enim, Parchilun Ubehen Anovim, Kashan Ben Shibalim. You have branches that have figs, that have grapes, that have wheat. Mechbadus Ben Tamarim. You have branches that have dates. In all cases, if there's more branch than there is food, it's kosher for schach, otherwise it's pasul. And others, acherim, say, no, you need the inedible part to outnumber not just the food itself, but the yados of the food also. So what are they arguing about? Whether the way to quantify, the way to measure, is based on just the ochel versus the branches, versus non-ochel, or is it ochel plus yados versus non-ochel? So myla abakum ufli, the marasav yeshlen yados, marasav reinlen yados. So obviously they're arguing whether yados is an issue when it comes to schach, whether the yados are considered to be mekabel tuma because they help out with the food. So it says, well, the Rabbi Abba vade tanai. You're right. According to Rabbi Abba, it is a machlokas tanaim. The Rabbi Nashe bar Gada mi lema tanai. But according to Rabbi Nashe bar Gada, it's not necessarily a machlokas tanaim. Amar lecha Rabbi Nashe, dekuli al masav yakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. Maybe everyone agrees kotzer l'schach is ein lo yados. V'achav ma'eskinon gon shekotzer na'achila v'nimach alein l'sichach. No, over here it's different though, because over here originally you were kotzer la'achila. You had cut it, you had harvested it in order to eat it, and therefore the yados immediately mattered and they counted as some of its mekabel tuma. Then you changed your mind for sichach. That's the whole machlokas tanaim. Does it then take away the status of yados? But when you were kotzer it's for the sake of using for schach, then maybe everyone would agree, all the Tanaim would agree, that it would have ein lo yados. This discussion is going to go for a while, all the way till the Mishnah, so we'll stop there.